This is the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you've got a quarter of an hour for us, then we've got 15 minutes for you. So grab your skinny, venti, double-whip mocha, your cup of tea with milk and two sugars, or something with bubbles if that's your fancy, and spend the next 15 minutes with us here at the Atlantic Voice. This is the AV15. I'm on the line, or I'm on Skype, with a good friend of the show, Rachel. Rachel, I'm going to refer to you as an animal rights activist. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, I believe so.
Talk to me a little about how then you define yourself in terms of your beliefs and your actions. Obviously, animal rights and then activist. Define that for our audience.
Definitely. So I would say the first half of it, animal rights, focuses on the fact that we operate in a society that uses animals for various reasons, either entertainment or food, etc. And so my focus in the animal rights world focuses on food. And so I am an activist because I advocate for vegetarianism. I advocate for veganism. And so I try and make the world aware of this system called factory farming and how atrocious it is, and kind of bringing light to the situation. And so, yeah, that's why I call myself an animal rights activist.
I want to go straight into that. You, when we were talking beforehand, you'd sent me some video clips about how animals in the food industry are treated. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, some of the stuff is quite, it was really shocking. And I will, when this show goes up, I'll post it up on the blog so people can look at themselves. I was fascinated, though. Why do we hear so little about this sort of thing in what, and I do hate this term, the mainstream media? Why do you think it is that the mainstream media stays away from covering some of this stuff?
Definitely. Well, I will say recently the mainstream media has taken issue with it because there's been laws that have been trying to be passed called ag gag laws. And that's been fascinating. So there's been more media coverage. But in the past 5 to 10 years, when this when these systems have really, really skyrocketed, I would say the major reason that we don't hear about this is because our system of government operates using lobbying as a major tool. And so the agriculture industry has over 1,000% more money than we could ever have as a movement. And so we don't have funds to bring this to light. And there's a quote by Paul McCartney that said, if factory farms had glass walls, you wouldn't be eating your hamburger, or something like that. I think that, you know, the industry really tries to hide what they're doing because they know that the public will not find it acceptable.
I mean, it was some of the stuff was quite, it was shocking and depressing and quite graphic to see, you know, chickens, pigs, cows, you know, animals that I think, you know, we're always, when you're a little kid, you learn about everyone on the farm and Old MacDonald and this type of thing. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that people feel the same way about these animals as they do about their cat and their dog. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not like we're talking about, you know, man-eating sharks or stuff like that, where there is this natural sort of, you know, emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of, ooh, that's a mean animal. I mean, you know, these are all farm animals, and seeing the way they were treated, it was quite unbelievable to me. You did mention then, because my next question was, is obviously the media don't cover this, but where is the law in all of this? And you just referred to, is it ag gag?
Yes.
Explain a bit more about that.
So first of all, to say where laws come into play, there is one lobbying group. They're called the Humane Society of the United States, and they are the only lobbying group that is pro-animal welfare. Every other lobbying group has corporate interests at heart. And so when we're talking about ag gag, we're talking about laws that would make it criminal offense, that would make it a criminal offense to videotape or take photos undercover. So we're talking about going into a factory farm and making it illegal for there to be a whistleblower. And so it's truly an atrocious law that is being passed in various states. I believe it's passed in roughly 5 states now. And they're, of course, hitting those states that have the most factory farms because they want it to be legal where factory farms are. And, you know, thankfully, in my opinion, ag laws are actually a good thing in terms of we're actually getting a lot of press coverage on the modern cruelties. So the modern cruelties being debeaking of chickens and putting five chickens in one battery cage, et cetera. So, you know, these are atrocious things that the public actually finds to be rather despicable. And the fact that we're getting it on CNN, in my opinion, is good. And there hasn't been a criminal offense filed yet for ag gag. So no one has been prosecuted for ag gag laws. But in time, that will happen as well.
For someone who's on the sharp end of this, I mean, obviously, you know, you're involved. Do you feel you're in a situation where your perspective, your point of view is having some success? Or do you feel like, wow, you know, we're fighting lobbyists and big industry, but, or is it something where you feel like, yeah, we're having an impact on how regular folk, and I do air quotes with my fingers, people like me, do you feel like, yes, we're getting through to people, regular people, and they're our understanding about where our food comes from and what have you?
Definitely. The meat industry is actually more scared than they have ever been because meat, buying meat is actually in decline. So the amount of meat that people are buying is slowly declining, and that is scary for them. They are making, from the past 5 years, it's actually gone from 10 billion animals, land animals a year that have been slaughtered to 9 billion animals a year, which is huge. You know, that's a billion animals that our industry is very, very happy that, you know, are no longer or do not exist to be in these horrible, heinous conditions. So the industry is definitely scared. We're making huge headway. And I couldn't have picked a better field to work in right now. I think that in the next 10 years, this field is just going to skyrocket. People are going vegetarian right and left. And veganism, you've never heard vegan so much as you've heard it today. It's amazing.
Let me say this though. And now I think I'm probably going to speak for a lot of our listeners. I'm a regular citizen. Mm-hmm. I eat and drink. I go to the store. I don't really think about what I'm eating and what I'm buying. But if someone said to me, you know, all animal-based protein, and I now talk about fish and chicken and dairy and meat, if someone said to me to cut all that out, I would probably be aghast. I'm like, no way. I've got to eat this, and I've got to eat some fish, and I've got to have a steak now and again.
Definitely.
What can I do as an ordinary citizen then? Because in a weird way, maybe I'm part of the problem. But, do you think it's a fair expectation to, obviously you yourself are a practicing vegan or vegetarian?
I'm vegan.
Vegan. So what can someone like me do to go, this is terrible the way these animals are being treated, but definitely, at the same time, there's a part of me going, ooh, I don't want to give up turkey at Thanksgiving.
Definitely. And that's completely normal. That's the way that 99% of the audience feels. And I would say that is a step in the right direction, even acknowledging that, you know, you have these contradictory feelings. I think that's really, really positive. So in my opinion, what you can do is try and add more plant-based foods to your lifestyle. So try and add more vegetables, more rice and beans, more whole grains. Really trying to live a healthier lifestyle is kind of what I advocate for as well. But honestly, trying to find some substitutes. So for instance, if you buy regular milk, trying to buy almond milk once in a while and seeing if you like the taste. Or if you buy hot dogs, let's be real. There's absolutely nothing real in hot dogs anyway. So, you know, instead of buying quote unquote real hot dogs,
there's real chemicals.
That's true. Yeah. Plus one for the meat industry. Yay. So, you know, trying to buy quote unquote fake hot dogs, even though I don't like to refer to them as fake, but trying to buy, you know, tofu hot dogs, veggie hot dogs is a good step. And, you know, each grocery store in the Washington, D.C. area has a plethora of vegan, vegetarian options that you can go and, you know, if you wanted to try a veggie burger, you can go to the frozen section and get some veggie burgers. If you wanted to try almond milk, soy milk, it's all there, you know. So I would say trying to add a couple of these things to your diet. And maybe even looking toward Meatless Mondays. So, you know, really concentrating on Mondays to say, you know what? I'm going to try and go vegetarian for this Monday. This means that I'm going to have to plan a little. I'm going to have to see what am I going to like to eat and, you know, cook a meal that you actually enjoy. And that's, I think, a step in the right direction for me.
So obviously in society, we, you know, we eat what we eat. We eat it. Industry makes money from it. So obviously if they're making money from it, they look to cut corners. In cutting corners, their standards drop. But because it's cheaper, we then eat what we eat. And it's a bit of a vicious cycle. Why do you think as a society, we eat what we eat?
I think that at one point in time, it was a very easy way to get the protein that we needed. But now, as of late, we actually don't need to eat animal products to get the correct amount of vitamins and nutrients. So for instance, I eat lentils and beans and quinoa, and I get as much protein as the next meat eater, if not more the correct level, because actually as a American, we actually get too much protein, and it is a thing.
Talk to me a little bit about you yourself now. Obviously, you know, you became aware in the same way that in talking to you and researching for this, I've become more aware. But at what moment did your awareness turn into, and I hate using this word because it has so many negative connotations about it, but to become more active in terms of your beliefs? Was there a single event that sort of said, I can't just, you know, I need to be involved in this subject rather than just, you know, be a vegan or what have you?
Definitely. So I became more active through my research, actually, in finding out that, you know, I can have an impact. Anyone can have an impact if they go vegetarian. An average vegetarian saves around 31 land animals a year, and around 220 fish a year, actually. And so I found these statistics to be, you know, just huge. I could have such a huge impact. But then I thought, you know what? If I can have this much of an impact, what if I were to impact some of my friends and family to go vegetarian and vegan? They could have as much an impact as I do. And if I could continue that ripple effect, then I would be indeed saving more animals, sparing more animals each year.
Is it rewarding on a personal level?
Definitely, 110%. I get up most mornings and say, I am very excited to do what I do. Going out into the streets, distributing literature about vegetarianism, going into high schools and colleges, giving presentations about factory farming. Actually, a presentation I will be hopefully giving to Georgetown Visitation in the next year or two.
That's the high school you went to?
Yes, that's the high school I went to in Washington, D.C. So I will hopefully be giving a presentation there, but I'll be giving many presentations this coming year in high schools and colleges throughout Philadelphia. So
obviously, by the time this airs, and when we were talking beforehand, there's a huge a national conference that would have occurred by the time this show airs. So obviously, we can't talk about what actually happened at that conference. But why? What is notable about that event on the calendar for yourself and obviously people in this, for want of a better phrase, in this industry?
Yeah, so this movement has people working all throughout the United States, all throughout the world, really. And every year there are a few conferences that kind of unite people. And one is the National Animal Rights Conference, hosted by Farm Animal Rights Movement. And they host it on the East Coast every other year and on the West Coast every other year. So this year it's happening in Washington, D.C. And I am beyond excited because it's about 1,000 vegetarians and vegans coming together, sharing insights about the movement, and honestly learning from one another and learning from the trials and tribulations. What is the best way to go about, you know, making a vegetarian and vegan world and making a more compassionate world overall? And so that conference is this coming weekend, but by the time this airs, it'll be this past weekend. And I'm beyond excited.
Well, I hope that event was a great success, and I wish you, obviously, as a friend of the show, I wish you great success as you move forward. On the blog, we will post some of the links to some of the stuff that Rachel sent me and some of the research that I did, and I'm sure she'll probably throw up her Facebook too. So if you want to get more involved, if you have more questions, you'll be able to reach her through us. Rachel, thanks for coming on the AV15.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Zeph.
We'll have you on again in the future when, you know, to see how things are going.
Sounds good. Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you. This has been the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you'd like to be on the AV15, please send us an email at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice, and all our episodes, whether it be the AV15 or the podcast itself, can be found on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.